Follow me down this deep, dark hole.
Hello and welcome to New Horror Express, your fortnightly podcast chatting to the best indie talent the horror genre has to offer. I'm your host, Scott Murphy, and on this episode, I'm chatting to director Karen Wechter about her second feature, DeadCon, in an interview we recorded ahead of its world premiere at Cinepocalypse in Chicago back in June. Over the course of the interview, Karen tells us about how she came to be on board in the project, what it was like shooting at a social media convention, and what films she particularly drew inspiration from for this picture. Plus, tangentially from the film, we talk a lot about the role of social media in our lives today, and particularly Karen's own interest in the subject in connection with the stories she wants to tell on screen, both with this picture, her previous picture, and some of her films to come. It's a fascinating chat, and we will let you get to it in just a minute. But first, we would like to recommend you rate, review, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Radio Public. Also, you can check us out wherever good podcasts are available. But now, here's Karen. Hi, Karen. Good to have you on New Horror Express.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to chat with you, Scott. Talk about some horror, so this is exciting.
Yeah, well, we've got you on the show today because your new movie DeadCon will be premiering at the Cinepocalypse Film Festival in June next month, and can you tell us a little bit about it, because there's not a lot on the IMDb synopsis on the Cinepocalypse, but there's not a lot. I'm sure because it's not premiered yet, you don't want to tell us too much, but you can just set it up a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. We're premiering. It's a world premiere next month, so that's exciting in Chicago. And DeadCon it's about the horrors and isolation of being a social media influencer. Let's call it like a ghost in the machine horror movie. So it gets a little meta, dealing with social media and technology and how kids are overrun with that sort of world. So I was really intrigued by that because I am really interested in social media and how it's guiding our youth and really taking over our lives. And that's why I was really drawn to direct this movie. It used to be called Followers. That was the initial name. And then I guess that there are a few other followers out there. And so we focused on DeadCon because it all takes place at an influencer convention. So there is like a haunting in the hotel of the convention. And there's these influencers that are in there stuff starts to go awry, and then we find out that there is a ghost in the machine, a haunting in this hotel. So it's a fun piece, and especially, you know, we have influencers in there. Influencers are sort of taking over the world, and young teenagers and tweens, they are just obsessed with following influencers and really getting very attached invested in their lives, because influencers are so personal and provide so much of their lives to their fans. So, this is written by Scotty Landes and produced by Gunpowder and Sky. And it was really fun to do a horror movie and have fun with it too. You know, it's like there is some comedy in it as well. But yeah, essentially what I always say in my log line is it is the horrors and isolation of being a social media influencer.
And did you, were you on the project kind of from the get-go, or were you, did you kind of hired on to direct later?
Yeah, I was, this was a work for hire. So I did a previous movie called The Sisterhood of Night, which I worked with a writer on. And I had just moved to LA from New York. I had gone to Columbia Film School for film, and I'd lived in New York for almost 19 years. And then I finally did the move to LA without a job. And I'm from California, but I was like, okay, I hope I get a gig. And this project came up, and I pitched for it, and I put together a lookbook and a pitch deck, and I brought my passion to the meeting, and I got the job right away. So that was really exciting. It just spoke to me because a lot of the stuff that I am interested in and the stories I love to tell deals with technology and social media. And so, yeah, they were looking for somebody to direct it, and I was the person. And yeah.
I was interested by that because I was one of the questions I was going to ask was, you know, was that the thing that attracted you? Because obviously it shares that same strand of DNA from your first film, the Sisterhood of Night, that is also about social media, perils of cyberbullying, that kind of stuff. So that was the kind of root of what jumped out of the project for you to start with.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, my first movie, The Sisterhood of Night, is a modern version of the Salem witch trials set in today's Facebook age. So there is social media involved with that, and the importance of girl friendships, and how much you put online and what you should not put online. So yeah, definitely, like, in my work, I've seen, like, I'm really drawn to social media. And it's funny because I love it and I hate it. Like, you need it, but then also, like, you see its destructive qualities. And I'm just really drawn to pop culture and youth. I'm really young at heart, and I'm just fascinated with, like, how technology has, it just guides our life and really changes us. And especially, like, with millennials, you know, they've been born into this world where they share so much of themselves online, and it scares me. Like, I just, I worry about young kids and how much they're, you know, how much they have to protect themselves from social media. So yeah, I'm definitely seeing, like, a trend in the stories that I love to tell. And I have other projects that deal with social media. My next movie is how somebody finds themselves, their identity online. And then I have another project that deals with technology. So there's definitely a trend in my stories. And I think that's what you discover as a filmmaker, like, what you're really drawn to and what you want to put out into the world. And so that's exciting. And, you know, I usually work with writers, and I write as well, but I'm paired up with writers, and I'm seeing just, you know, the stories that, that mean something to me. So this story, DeadCon, it just was really in line with, what I want to put out into the world. And it was fun too, because it's a horror movie. I love really dark, moody, pieces. And I'm also intrigued by comedy. And with this piece, I had fun with elements of comedy and horror. So, it was really fun to make and to come here to LA. Just, you know, I got the job 6 weeks after I just moved to LA, and I just saw, like, there's so much opportunity here. So that was really exciting, and being able to work with such amazing people like Gunpowder and Sky. They're just a very cool upcoming production company, and really tapped into youth and millennials. So yeah, I was just, it was perfect for my line of work and what I wanted to say.
Yeah. You mentioned that you like to work with writers. Did you work with the writer for this movie at all?
Scotty, he's awesome. He, they had this script, for a while, and so I did another pass with them. You know, it's like always before production, you just like get all of your heads together and you know, perfect the script. So, it was nice to do another pass at it with him. And of course, always when you shoot and afterwards, you're always mm-hmm. still rewriting. So, and definitely put in some of my personal things in there. So that was really fun. But Scotty, he just has a movie out, called Ma, and, which is a horror movie as well. And so it's sort of fun to see, like, that's his style. He likes to mix comedy and horror. And that was really exciting for me to try, because I don't consider myself a comedy director, but I've noticed horror and comedy, they are pretty similar because they deal with timing and pacing. So, yeah, it was great to work with Scotty, yeah, it was just a really fun experience.
It's so,
but when, yeah.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, it's interesting you bring up that connection between comedy and horror, because like jump scenes and kind of comedic scenes can work very similarly in terms of the setup with the audience. And also, Sam Raimi was famously quoted as saying that Evil Dead 2 was just basically a Three Stooges movie with gore. So there is that very much that connection there.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely, yeah. I mean, that's what I was discovering while shooting. And because a lot of the actors on set, they are these very animated influencers. And there was just this high energy. And we started off shooting the big convention scenes, you know, so like, I'm not sure if you're familiar with like VidCon, but it's a convention with all these influencers and they come together and it's just so high octane, like high energy, teenagers, tweens. I mean, it's insane. Me and the DP, Nicole Whitaker, we went a week before we were shooting to, you know, check out this VidCon and, you know, research, like, how is this? And I mean, it was insane. It's just like screaming kids. It almost feels like a horror movie because you're walking in this huge convention center and then all of a sudden you hear this loud, shrill screaming and you're like, oh my God, is somebody dead? But it's just like excited teenagers and so much is happening and loud music and flashing lights. Like, it felt like a rave for like 10-year-olds on speed and without the drugs, but it was like hilarious, like just crazy. And so starting off shooting in the convention and with all of these kids, it was, you know, it was really fun and you know, just pushing that humor and the fun aspects, because then once we get in the hotel, it just kept getting darker and darker. And so that was the fun that I discovered while shooting. And there were some actors that were great with improv and just were naturally funny. So, I mean, the more and more, yeah. So, like Lucas Cage, he plays an influencer and he was just really hilarious. He's not in there enough, but you want more of him. And that was just that was the fun. Like, I think that's the great thing when you shoot and when you're on set and you discover things, like you can do as much planning as possible. And I am such a planner. Like when I direct, I work off of visuals, but that's the fun part of directing and bringing all these talented people together is that you don't know what you're going to get and there's fun things to discover. So that was what I was discovering while shooting. It was the comedy aspects. And Scotty, he does come from a comedy background. So that was really, it pulled out of me. I'm just naturally dark and moody. I've always been like that. And I am lighthearted and funny at heart, but like, yeah, it was fun to discover that in this movie. So, and especially this movie is geared for teenagers and tweens, you know, the people who love influencers. So, so, you know, they like to laugh and, you know, smile. So, but it's funny 'cause like some of my influences when I was, putting my plan together, like my, of course, like my favorite movies, The Shining and It Follows are definitely influences for me in terms of like camera movement and style and mood. But it's
like, certainly excellent choices.
Yeah, they're all great, right? I mean, they're amazing movies and you can't...
I've said on the podcast before that The Shining is my favorite movie too.
Oh yeah. It's just that movie horrified me at 15. That's the movie that got me intrigued with filmmaking. So, I mean, you can't ever redo it it's just a masterpiece, but, and I knew I wasn't making The Shining, but, you know, like there's long hallway shots and, it's really great movie to study in terms of all elements, music and framing. So, but, yeah, what other movies? I'm trying to think of like what other movies I referenced, but, yeah, I really loved those films. So, but you know, it's like, I wanted to have a lightheartedness to it too. So just because it's for teenagers. So, yeah.
You were talking about, you know, improvising. I was just wondering with the VidCon stuff, was that all kind of set up for you or were you just shooting kind of guerrilla style?
Oh yeah. Well, when Nicole, the DP, and I went to VidCon, we brought in our cameras and we did shoot some stuff. So there's some B-roll that is included in the movie. My natural style, I do love shooting in real environments. And I was really hoping to like bring some of the actors and do some of the stuff there. But things were happening so fast. And so it was great though that we went and just to see how it is. And it's near Disneyland. So it has this almost amusement park feel. And so like in our movie too, it's supposed to be near an amusement park and it's not really mentioned much, but we were really trying to emulate the VidCon experience. And but it was nice that we started off there. It got us in the mood and then we started off shooting in the convention center. So we had to remake this world and fake it. But it was really fun to get like all these elements together, like a VR station and like an area where you can get selfies with your favorite influencers. We just wanted it to feel chaotic and like super saturated and overwhelming because that's what it feels like. It's just like it's so many things happening all at once, which I feel like mimics social media and how today there's just so much information thrown at you. It's like you don't even know where to look and it's overload. So and it's funny though too, at the real VidCon they have this section for like the parents and they like lure them so because it's just overwhelming and I think they serve alcohol. And when we first walked in they like were like, here, come to the parents section. We're like, oh no, we need to check things out. So
yeah, it was just a funny experience, and it was hilarious. So we tried to redo that whole experience, and mixing that in with real footage. So that was fun.
I just like the thought that they have this like safe haven for parents. It's like, I'm just imagining all these kind of teenagers and tweens and stuff, like dropping them off almost like a kind of parents crash, you know, just like, you stay here, I'll go and check the corner.
No, it's true. Well, because the teenagers they're young. I mean, you see them, they're like, some are like 10 years old, and they're too young to drive, or and so you see like the parents kind of like excuse me, taking care and watching over them. And then there's an area where you can buy cameras, and like expensive cameras, you know, like, so that I feel like some of the kids, they want to be influencers too. It's just like our society is like, you know, you can be an influencer too. And I've done so much research on this and kids' fascination in this world. And now they're saying that, you know, like when they're asked the question, what do you want to be when you grow up? And now they're saying like, I want to be an influencer. Like, I never had that when I was 10 years old. And so they sell cameras there. You can get a fancy Canon camera, you know, for thousands of dollars. And it's just crazy. Like, they're selling stuff to these kids. Like, you can be an influencer too. And, I mean, that's a real job. And like, you know, people make big money off of it, and, they're the new star. So, just totally fascinated by that. And it was hilarious. Just like this safe haven for the parents so that they can not hear all the screaming. But that was a thing that I really wanted to put in the movie, is just this shrill, horrific screaming that you would just suddenly hear, and you're like, oh my God, is somebody okay? And so you hear elements of that in the hotel too, because these influencers, they stay in a hotel together. And sometimes the fans, they find out where these influencers are staying. And so Scotty, he used to date an influencer. So this was really a personal experience for him when he went to VidCon. And so I talked to him at length about this, but that was his inspiration for writing this. And
In terms of the casting of the movie, I noticed that I'm reliably informed by IMDb that there is a number of YouTubers, Instagram influencers cast in the movie. Was that important in terms of kind of the realism of the movie, or grounding the movie? Was that something that was like, important to you?
Yeah, it was definitely a plan. And I wanted to make sure that they could act. And it's been an interesting thing in the film world, because these influencers, they draw so many people, they draw millions of people. And so, you know, we wanted to put in influencers that have their own fan base. So, but it was really important for me, like, they had to act, and they, some were playing themselves, and some were great. I mean, they there's elements where they have to do their own vlogs and, you know, do their own selfies and stuff. And it was great, because I don't need to show them how to do it. They were more professional. So like in moments, they're doing their own camera work, which is awesome. And that's their job. They just live constantly filming almost every aspect of their life. So there are, there's Lauren Elizabeth, Claudia Slewski, Jesse Page, and Mark Donner. They were all influencers. Kylie. And it was fun. But of course, you know, there were moments I was like just nervous. I'm like, oh, you know, there's something like being an actor versus like being yourself.
So if they were playing themselves, that was really great. And but the lead girls, Lauren and Claudia, there are our two leads, and they're really good friends, and they were attached before I got on. So, but yeah, I was intrigued by that. And because I have done some work with social media influencers but I don't want to just do movies that stick influencers in there. I did this movie because it had something to say about that world. And it was fun to do a horror movie because, as I said before, there's something I love about that world and something that I really hate. And so to make fun and to have fun with it, that was intriguing to me.
So yeah, it sounds like there's very much a kind of satirical eye on that world is going on, as well as the horror elements there.
Definitely. Yeah. It's definitely a satire and like a reflection of just like, I don't want to give anything away, but you know, there stuff can go awry when your whole world is about your camera, you and your camera. And so I guess that's my biggest hint. There's a ghost in the machine. So, and a haunting in the house. So that's why The Shining was an inspiration too, because, you know, it takes place in a hotel and there's a lot about isolation. And you see these influencers, they're almost trapped in their rooms after they come back from the convention. And you know, what happens behind those closed doors when they're alone?
It's a bit scary in itself, you know, just a kind of lack of privacy and a lack of kind of just exposing yourself to the world in such a detailed fashion.
Yeah, yeah. It is. Like, that's their job. Like, they have to be a successful influencer. They have to open up themselves enough, because that's why they get such a huge fan base, is because they're so vulnerable and so open. And I don't know how familiar you are with that world, but you know, sometimes there's drama. Like right now there's all this drama in the beauty world, and it's insane. Just like one influencer does a video and blaming one person, and I mean it can cause a lot of drama and havoc. But
I can imagine. I have to say, as a somewhat of a Luddite mid 30-year-old, no, I'm not that familiar with the world.
Stay away. I'm just kidding. Yeah. I do it for research, and I mean I've been sucked down the rabbit hole with, you know, with the influencers. I mean, my manager, she represents influencers, and that's kind of why I got into that world too. But like, me as a filmmaker, I don't want to just do stuff that like puts influencers in it. I really want to have something to say about that world. And so I'm always sort of taking a step back and like observing, but I do get sucked into it. And I know, you know, like with Instagram and like, how much do you put out of yourself? And then how much do you remain just a mystery? I think that's hard for kids today is finding that balance between what to share and what to hold back. But like with Sisterhood, my first movie, I was really like trying to put forth the message that it is good to be mysterious and to leave some things just for, you know, offline.
That was something that's curious to me. Were any of the actors in this movie, did any of them see it? Because like, and did that, if they did that cause any tension? Because that seems like quite a critical film of social media. And one of the key points, one of the key things that happens in that movie is this group of girls who deliberately withdraw from social media, deliberately withdraw from internet content.
Yeah. I mean, the lead actors, they did watch it. And they, you know, they knew the script. And so we were all in on it, and so, because I think they do have to play with that as well. I mean, you know, some influencers, they do want to cross over into acting and rather than just promoting products, or you know, and some are really talented
they're just naturally great in front of the camera, and also amazing camera operators and editors. They inspire me. But yeah, they were aware of the story and what was happening. So, but yeah, it is poking fun at it, and I think you have to. It's such a, I mean, well, also they're young, and yeah, you have to have fun with it. But
yeah, it's interesting, and you're starting to see some more movies that, you know, really have a view on this world. So, but yeah, that's what I'm drawn to.
Yeah, so it's interesting that there is more movies coming out about social media and interactions on the internet, and it's interesting because this movie being produced by Gunpowder and Sky, and it also they produced the horror film last year, Cam, which was obviously to do with a very different part of the internet, but having a view on technology and how people interact with technology.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Cam is very different movie, but like a little similar in terms of a ghost in the machine. You know, there is something in technology and that interaction. And yeah, it was a fun movie to see. So Gunpowder Sky is really touching upon what's happening with the millennials and what is it, Generation Z. So, because Van Toffler, he comes from MTV, and so yeah, I was really excited to work with them, and because I know that they're making films that really hit upon that generation, and I don't know why, I'm just fascinated by that age and development and how you take in the world. It's just so different from my youth. And you know, we had dial up internet that was like took 5 minutes to get on an internet, and we were okay with that. And now it's like you need everything fast. Like if you wait 5 seconds, oh, it screws you up. And by just seeing like how our brains are changing, like I've noticed how my brain and how I take in things is different. Just with the internet and
yeah,
how much it, yeah, right. It scares me. I feel like that's a horror. Like, and so I really wanted to tap into that.
Yeah, no, I often find myself feeling like I'm in a kind of slightly weird position because of my age, I'm like 33 going on 34, and I feel like I was like part of the last generation, the last kind of people who remember like dial-up internet and VHS and stuff like that before it went on to the next thing. So yeah. Like, I feel like slightly older than my age because of that.
Oh yeah, I mean it. Yeah, like we had to talk on a telephone and share a line, and you know, it was one computer, and now we have amazing piece of technology in our hands, yeah, that just provides every piece of information. And but like anything that you want to look up, you can look up. But I just, it's, my brain is working differently, and it, I'm overwhelmed with information now, and so it's interesting to see how much has changed so quickly. And but it's funny because my first movie, Sisterhood, it takes place like when in the present time, but when we originally were making it, we set it during our youth, like when I was 15 in the 90s. So then when we were presenting it out, we're like, oh my gosh, it's a period piece. And I was like, really? And then my producers were like, let's put some cell phones in there. And I was like, no, I don't want to put cell phones. I don't want to see cell phones. But then once I really like made it present day, it got me really fascinated with the presence of technology and just how it's changing us. So I don't know, I've just always been intrigued by that. And a lot of my core work too is
I love like electronic music and rave. And that back in the 90s actually came out of the advent of the internet. And it was escapism from, you know, this new thing that was happening. But it's just so funny because like early 90s, I mean, you know, computers were just starting to come into our world and become a personal computer. And, you know, I mean, they were expensive, but, you know, we had our first computer and it was just changing our world. So people escaped and wanted that adventure of like going to a party. So, I mean, you'll see in this movie too, there's like a party. There's always just like a rave element, and I am going to do a rave movie. But I don't know. I've just always been intrigued by technology and it's guiding the human existence and development.
In terms of the filming of this movie, was it a smoother filming than your first feature, or about the same? Or, you know, did you find it easier once you done that first feature? Did you find it easier in this feature as a director?
Yeah, I mean, my first movie, it was a long process. So I came out of film school. The writer, Marilyn Fu, we went to film school together, and the whole process took 10 years. And I never thought in film school, like, it would take that long to do your first movie. It was so epic, and like the shooting was insane. It was a lot of, you know, young kids, night shoots. It was freezing. And also it was my first movie, so I was really protective of my vision. And I'm a very visual person. And so it was tough. It was really the whole process, but it was amazing. And I learned so much. And then this movie was very different in terms of it was, you know, like I came in later in the process and I was put in because of my vision and what I would bring to the project. And then we shot in two locations. We shot at a convention. We recreated that. And then the hotel stuff was all on a stage. So that was fun to have that all controlled, because we were looking at hotels. And oh my gosh, like when you look at hotels, like there's no way that you could get all that crew like into one room. And so then, you know, we were just like contemplating it. Like, we're like, oh, I think it would just make more sense to build a stage so that we could have more control. So that was really fun. And that was up in LA, up in the valley. We had this stage that we just like created this hotel. And I do have some little elements of The Shining, like, you know, the hallways are kind of a reference to that. And then we put some of the design into the wallpaper, and we just had more control. And then we had this lighting on top. It was amazing. Like the gaffer, Adam, he was able to control all the lights from an iPad. But it was a short schedule. My first movie was 28 days, which I feel like is really luxurious for a first movie. And then this DeadCon, what was it? It was 21 days. So it was, you know, it's never enough time. But it was a totally different experience. And then also with DeadCon, you know, I'd never worked with special effects. So we had that whole element, and you know, there's stuff on computers and then doing texts, and I feel like every time you do a movie you learn so much, and they were totally different. And also just the more and more that you direct and get into, you know, your work, you just love the whole element of collaboration. And Nicole, my DP, she was amazing and such a calm, smart cinematographer. And it was just great energy. AD was awesome. But of course, never enough time. Never enough time. I don't think you'll ever get enough time on set. And then, yeah, the post-process was hard too. Just a lot of special effects. So I learned a lot in that aspect too.
But in terms of editing or anything, was it? Was it all right? Just in terms of, like, you know, did you have it quite? Is there like a 2.5 hour cut of the movie, or?
No, I mean, this one, no. This was, I knew this wasn't
going to be. This one, as if the there is one for the Sisterhood of the Night.
Oh, yeah. Sisterhood, I feel like that could have been a series. We had so much, there's so many storylines. That was like a 2 hour cut at first, and then it's an hour and a half. I just feel like also for youth, they need like an hour and a half. I mean, I'm not Tarantino. I can't have a 2.5 hour movie. But yeah, the editing process is always, I don't know, for both movies, we're both intense.
Just quickly, you mentioned Tarantino there. I read an interview of yours where you said you once proposed to Tarantino. Screening of Death Proof.
I mean, too bad he's married, but...
Have you ever met him since?
No, I haven't, but that was at his premiere in Austin. Oh, what was it called again? Oh.
Death Proof.
Death Proof, yes. And, Rose McGowan was there, and Tarantino. That was a while ago, and I was at the after party, and he was right there, and we had tequila shots, and I've just... His work is amazing. So I went for it. I was like, will you marry me? And he didn't say no. So, but he just got married recently. I was like, darn it. Oh, well, I had my chance. I can't wait to see his next movie. It just premiered yesterday. So
yeah, it can. It seems to be getting very good reviews. He seems to be getting himself in trouble, but the movie itself seems to be getting very good reviews.
Yeah, I mean, he had a 7-minute standing ovation, I'm a huge Tarantino fan. I just love his boldness, and as a filmmaker, I want to be bold, and he's just such an inspiration. He just has such a strong voice, and also where I live here in LA, my editor, she pointed out that they filmed Pulp Fiction in my neighborhood, so if I look out my shower, I can see where they filmed that scene where Bruce Willis, he's driving and he runs into, is his name Wallace?
Marcellus Wallace.
Yeah, and then Kathy Griffin, like, opens his car door once he's crashed. I'm like, are you okay? So I can see that from my house. I'm so stoked about that. And then there's other parts, like in my neighborhood, that they filmed Pulp Fiction, but back in the day in the 90s, like, this area was a really rough neighborhood, but I don't know, I think it's like being in LA, I'm so stoked, like, they shot Pulp Fiction here. So I love Tarantino. I just think he's brilliant. So I'm excited. Can't wait to see this movie. Is it July yet?
July, yeah. It looks good, and I'm waiting forward to checking that out as well. The other thing that I picked up from that interview that I wanted to ask was, have you seen The Craft in the 4 years since that interview took place?
Oh my God, no. I have not. Because my first movie is, like, a lot of people say it's like The Craft or Heathers. And I've been wanting to see it again, but I haven't. Wait, didn't they do like a newer version of The Craft?
I don't know, maybe.
Yeah. I know, yeah, it's been a few years, and I should just see it. I mean, I love witch stuff, and there's witches in my first movie. So my first movie was like a drama, but some people called it a horror, so I did talk to some horror people, that movie is really special to me, and I guess that's why I did this horror too. I would love to do more horror. My upcoming films, they are sort of like, they have thriller or horror aspects to it.
It's, yeah, I was looking at your upcoming films, there's one of them, Killdeer, that does sound like a horror movie from the little synopsis that you get on IMDb.
Yeah, it's definitely a young girl who is living out in the country, and she thinks that she's pregnant, and then she has to battle her stepmother. And it's different in the aspect that, like, yeah, she's on her phone and stuff, and so she's really trapped inside of her head, which I feel like a lot of teenagers are. But, like, in contrast to DeadCon, it's out in the middle of nowhere, on a farm, and it deals with a lot of nature aspects, which I love as well. Like, I love those contrasts of, like, crazy technology and wilderness and nature. But yeah, other films that aren't even on IMDb, they're pretty dark, pretty dark movies. And but they have thriller aspects, and like this upcoming movie that I'm doing, it is a teenage kid who finds himself online, and it has a very dark ending. And it's called Follow Me, and it's just so beautifully written. And the writer of that, he saw Sisterhood, and he was like, oh my gosh, this girl needs to direct my script. And I read it, and I fell in love with it. So it has thriller aspects, and it like DeadCon, it really hits upon the dangers of the internet. Like, don't put so much personal information out there, because it's going to come back and haunt you. And it's dangerous. I just don't, like, kids don't understand, like, the internet is forever and you can't erase anything. And there's just so many creepy people out there. So that's what the next movie hits upon. And but also on the other side,
I was gonna say that it seems like you're, in terms of, they seem like very contrasting things, hyper-connected social media and kind of out there in nature. But it seems like the thing that might connect them is that kind of idea of isolation and loneliness, and that's something that's...
Yeah, that's definitely. Like, that was an image that, like, in my lookbook for DeadCon, I was like in the hotel rooms. I always love this image of somebody on their computer, and they're just lit by their computer, like this blue glow. And they're the big space of this empty room. And that just summed it up for me. You know, that a lot of these young kids, they're so into their computers, their cell phones, and trying to connect so deeply to people and feel a part of something. And then when you pull out, they're just alone. And I feel like that's really hitting upon, like, the psychology of teenagers today, that, you know, they want to be a part of something, they want to feel connected, but it's not like your real true connection. So, you know, when you're face to face with somebody, and I'm scared, like, there's more depression and suicide, like, with youth, because of this sort of false connection. But yeah, definitely in my images with DeadCon, there was always, like, this image of somebody on their phone alone. But yeah, if you catch yourself sometimes, like, oh my God, I'm, like, on my phone alone, just scrolling through Instagram for hours, and
it can be pretty terrifying in itself.
I think it's terrifying. I think it's terrifying that I catch myself doing that, and I have to limit how long I have to be on certain social media platforms. And I felt like I had to battle, like, you know, I just think, like, that's a waste of time. Other parts, I feel like, oh my gosh, it's research, you know, like, that's my career. But other times I'm like, I just need to read a book. I need to go outside, be in nature, and But yeah, the more I get into my work, I do enjoy those moments when I am in nature and I'm, and really being in the moment. So, yeah.
And going forward, is it horror that kind of interests you the most?
Huh. I love psychological horror, you know, going back to The Shining. I did go to a fun rave this weekend called EDC. And so I want to do, got some ideas starting in my head. But yeah, I love the fun, playful side of horror. And then really tapping into what today's youth is doing. That's definitely what I'm attracted to. And so I have a list of projects that I'm sort of tied to. And but yeah, it's like, I don't really care for horror that's all like, how would I explain it? Like creaky doors and like just a haunted house. Technology needs to be a part of it for me. I don't know. That's just what I'm naturally drawn to. Yeah, I'm not always a horror fan, but like some just really stick out to me. I love those two movies I mentioned, and then also Jordan Peele's work. I still need to see Us. I can't believe I didn't see that in the movie theater, but
it's great. I would highly recommend it.
Yeah, and I just feel like that his work, it has more to say than just it just hits on deep subject matter that is really naturally scary. So
you don't like those movies that are just kind of like a fairground ride that's just like, you know, you go in and there's kind of thrills and spills and jumps and then you, that's it. There's not really anything else to it. It's just that's it.
Yeah, it's fun in the moment and like yay, but like doesn't really stick with you. I love those movies that you can't get out of your head. And it really makes you think about your own life and it really hits the zeitgeist. So that's the deep psychological films. Like, yeah.
Are those the kind of films, what really scares you in a horror movie? Is that the kind of film that really gets under your skin, the kind of more psychological horror?
Yeah. Well, it's like, sound, like, scares, I think that's, I mean, it's fun, but I think, like, even with Dead Con, the biggest fear in the end of it is that social media is making us feel more alone. I think that's scary.
Yeah.
That's the truth. And rather than, like, there's a ghost in the closet. There could be ghosts in your closet, but, like, that our way of interacting is changing, and we think we're connected, but it's really making us more disconnected. I think that's scary. So, yeah. And that's why I loved It Follows too. I mean, it really had such a great tone. I'm really into tone and that overall feeling, and that movie just loved it. And the music, it all comes together as one, and just had such a voice. So I really appreciated that. And of course, I know a lot of people just like love it and reference it. And but
I was wondering, just because it's another film that deals in similar territory, if the movie Pulse was an influence at all.
Oh, Pulse.
It's a Japanese film. It's from like 2001, and Yeah, it has it's about internet ghosts, and it's but it's all to do with kind of isolation and people being atomized by the internet, and yeah, that kind of stuff. And it's very much a kind of mood piece. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but yeah.
That's fun. Yeah, I haven't seen that. But I know, like, another reference was Scream. We wanted to make a movie that was about our world today. So, you know, and Scream, it is lighthearted. It's not as heavy-handed and as dark as, like, The Shining. So I knew going into Dead Con, like, it would have a lighter aspect. And, like in terms of mood and look, I looked at The Shining and It Follows, and also The Neon Demon, which is just a great, I guess you would consider that a horror movie, right? It's weird, but
yeah, The Neon Demon I would consider a horror movie
for sure. Yeah, and it's stylized and bizarre, but also Scream is a movie to sort of reference as well.
It makes sense in terms of the meta-ness that you were talking about and the self-satirizing of the influencers.
Yeah. I mean, that's why the influencers wanted to do it too, because it is a little bit of laughing at themselves and like, oh my God, this whole world is crazy. And like when you go to the VidCon, I mean, like, wow, like, is this real? Like, and young kids are just so attracted to it. So yeah, it is totally poking fun at our role today, but there is a seriousness underneath it all that I feel like we need to take a closer look at. So yeah, but I mean, other favorite movies, like I love Donnie Darko. I mean, that's so moody. I just love the music on that too. I'm really influenced by music as well, like when I work. And I was really fortunate to work with amazing music producer. His name is Das Mortal. And he actually this was his first movie, and he's like a horror fan. So it was really exciting to work with him, and he has such a style, and which is like has an 80s element to it, because there is an 80s element to my movie as well. Like The Haunting comes from the 80s, and only hint I'll give you is like it has to do with technology. So if you just think of like the history of technology, you know, big stuff happened in the 80s. So Das Mortal, he was great. And a lot of his work has a lot of this horror movie references. So, and I just love DJs and electronic music. So I was really excited to work with this guy in Montreal. And then I saw him perform, and he's just rad. So cool. So
cool. And it certainly seems like, even though it took 10 years to get your debut feature made, it seems like you will be non-stop in the future. The two projects listed on IMDb as being in pre-production, and also other projects that are not even listed, including the one you mentioned, the Follow Me. So it seems like it's a kind of real whirlwind for you
at the moment. Yeah. No, I mean, it's fun. I mean, it's hard to get a project like off and running. You know, you just got to get financing and it's, you know, to do a movie, it takes a lot of time. I mean, this one took a year. And I'm so excited for it to come out, and it's going to do some film festivals, and then it has a platform. So that's so exciting. And I can't tell where it's going to be, but it's got a good home. So I'm excited. But yeah, I think also like having done my second movie, I just know now more like what I want to do. And, cause before I would say yes to everything, and now I'm just fine tuning. Like, what are you saying as a filmmaker and an artist, and what do you want to put out there in the world? So I just feel like I'm like trying to yell at kids through my movies. Like, there's a positive side and there's a dark, dark side to the internet and social media. So just, I feel like all my movies are like these cautionary tales of like, just be careful. Don't put everything out on the internet and don't trust everybody out there. Cause it's so great what it can do, but also that it's so destructive. And I'm sure you can see that just like with bullying, people have no filter on the internet. And, I've just also noticed, like, especially with women, like how they feel they have to show off so much of themselves. And it's, you know, it scares me. Like, that's how they feel like they have to get acceptance, but they don't realize later on in life, like, it might hurt them. So,
you're kind of saved.
Yeah. So I think that's like my job. I just want to, show the good side and the bad side of the internet. So, this was a fun way to, tell that story. But yeah, films, it's a lot of fun and I'm excited. So I'm ready to do my next thing and continue in those stories.
Is there any UK festival dates lined up, or is it just kind of in the States?
Yeah. Well, nothing has been out officially, but my producer said there is a festival in August in the UK.
A festival in August in the
UK. Yes, in the UK. That's all I know.
Oh, okay. So, I have an idea.
So I'm really excited about it, but it's not out publicly, and I haven't gotten an official thing. So, I've just heard in the grapevine. So, but it's all good. Exciting stuff. So I hope to come out to England and I love it there. So
excellent. Well, I look forward to checking out DeadCon whenever it does reach UK shores. And thank you very much for coming on the show.
Yeah, well, thank you, Scott. It was awesome talking about it and talking with you. So thank you.
That was my guest, Karen, there, who I'd like to thank once again for coming on the show. Also, as you may have guessed, the festival in August is, of course, Fright Fest. So all of you who are going down to London for that can check out the international premiere of DeadCon for yourself on Monday, the 26th of August. Unfortunately, that is the end of another episode, but before you go, we highly recommend you rate, review, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Radio Public. You can also check us out wherever good podcasts are available. We are everywhere, we're telling you. Also, please do join us again in 2 weeks' time, where we will have another great guest for you. Until then, though, see ya!